We have 11 amazing restaurants featuring a wide variety for every price range and appetite. South Point's Garden Buffet has something for everyone at unbeatable prices. Or, if hunger strikes in the middle of the night, join us at Coronado Cafe. The American menu offers breakfast, lunch, or dinner 24 hours a day. Plus a Chinese kitchen for authentic Chinese dishes from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. From steak and eggs to wonton soup, it's fast and friendly service 24/7. When you need a quick pick-me-up, you can find it at our state-of-the-art Starbucks just inside the main South Point entrance. Order ahead with the Starbucks app for easy mobile order pickups. Or enjoy your favorites in the relaxing dining area anytime, day or night. If you love Mexican food, Baja Miguel's has all of your south of the border favorites. There are dozens of classics to choose from, like fajitas, ceviche, chimichangas, tacos, and more. And for spirit lovers, Baja's colorful non-smoking tequila bar is right outside.
Hi, I'm Kurt Angle.
I represented the United States in the Olympics in 1996 and won a gold medal. Then I parlayed that into a pro wrestling career.
I saw a commercial a few years ago.
Tunnel to Towers Foundation made a promise.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation is paying off the mortgages for Gold Star families with young children. I thought, this is really cool. I want to be a part of it. My dad served in the Army for 30 years. We didn't have a lot of money, but he made sure we had what we needed. He set a great example for all of us. But he died in a construction accident my freshman year in high school. When he died, we didn't have any income coming in, and we ended up being forced to move out of our house. I was devastated. So I understand what these families are going through, and to have an organization like Tunnel to Towers come in and pick you up and carry you and give you a home to live in, I think that's just amazing. I'd like to ask you to donate $11 a month to support these efforts by going to t2t.org or calling 1-844-BRAVEST.
The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
From the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf club, at the race books and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program for this Almost Friday Thursday. We come to you live and direct from the gaming capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, right here at the South Point Studios at the South Point Hotel Casino Complex on Las Vegas Boulevard and the YouTube South Point Studio Streaming Network. We welcome you to the show. And, of course, all of you running out there early this morning can listen to us on our anchor radio station, Sports Talk 1400 AM, 107.1 FM. We're on several websites, most of them race days, racedaylasvegas.com, .vegas.world, .global. We got them all. And, of course, anywhere you get your podcasting, and we got your devices covered as well. Your iPhone, your Androids, and your Google. You can get, of course, your Google phone. You can get your apps at your app store, where you can hear us through the KSHP app on the radio station and see and listen to us on the YouTube app on your devices as well. So we welcome you to the show, however, wherever, whenever. Good. I want to wish everybody out there a good morning. We got John Lendo on set with us. He's actually here in person. John, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. Good to be out here, and I'm glad you held the rain off for me, at least until we get done with this.
Well, yeah, I got to tell you, though, when I was walking through the parking lot getting in here, I know you parked in the garage. You were the smart one. I parked outside in front, walked through the parking lot or through to get here to the inside the studio here, And all I can say is there are ominous skies out there, and we are expecting rain here in Las Vegas. As a matter of fact, the entire West Coast, up and down California, way up to the north, where Washington and Oregon, it'll turn to snow up there. It'll be snow in northern Nevada, parts of Idaho, et cetera. But when you get down here to Las Vegas and certainly down south to Los Angeles, et cetera, it's going to be rain. And we're expecting rain today here in Las Vegas. So by the time we're done, by the time I walk outside, it might be raining out there. But nevertheless, that's the conditions we have here on the West Coast. Everything else looks pretty clear across the country, but it's not going to stay that way. I understand that there's going to be a lot of bad weather that's going to be going through the continental United States up into the East Coast as well. And, of course, we're talking about what type of weather conditions we'll have at Colonial Downs for the two Derby, point getters for the Kentucky Derby and the Kentucky Oaks coming up this weekend on Saturday, etc. But what these are the weather conditions we have at the present time. I just checked. There aren't any cancellations so far. But you might expect bad weather and maybe cancellations, certainly bad tracks across the nation by the time we get to Saturday. And, John, Southern California, I guess they're bracing for the rain that we're getting. You get first. So what's the deal there?
Right. It was supposed to rain pretty good last night. I have not talked to anybody at the track yet this morning. But the track was closed. The main track was closed for training Tuesday and Wednesday. Uh-huh. I assume it was closed for training this morning. We'll see what we have going into tomorrow. The storm last night was supposed to bring more rain. They didn't get a ton from the Tuesday storm.
Right.
But this is starting to add up a little bit now, and the cooler weather is going to keep it a little from drying out as quick. So we'll see. I don't have any update yet. We'll have to play it by ear going into tomorrow. And there are three grass races scheduled for tomorrow. I would call that iffy at best. I would look dirt first if you're handicapping the Friday card today.
Well, all I can say is I know that you're not a line maker, but you kind of play into the line. So what's the odds that you think that we may very well get a cancellation? Remember, we're racing on Monday, St. Patrick's Day, so we're going to go Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. The storm's going through there. Your thoughts about any cancellations, or do you think you're going to make the four-day weekend?
Well, they've already drawn all 4 days, so it's not like if they cancel Friday, they could put a race back on for Monday. Those races have already been drawn. So that takes that part out of it. I just think it depends on conditions. If they think they're okay to race on the main track, and they haven't had traffic on the main track all week, so if the weather's good tomorrow, which it's supposed to clear out tomorrow, then they can open up that main track, and we should be okay. But I used to know, Ralph, but okay. in this day and age of all these protocols and all these rules and rules on rules,
yeah.
I don't know anymore. I have to, you know, I hope for the best, assume the worst, and as a handicapper, it drives me crazy.
Well, I'd say flip a coin, but with our luck, we flip a coin to stand on its edge. So we'll wait and see about that, that's for sure. But in any case, the weather is going to be the factor over the weekend for horse racing, and certainly on the East Coast at Colonial Downs, where, of course, they got the Derby and the Oaks going there, the Virginia Derby and Virginia Oaks there. We'll go over those fields again with John and Jonathan in the next segment. Talk a few topics of racing with these guys, as long as I got them on set and here with us today, as we look forward to this weekend and, of course, the Kentucky Derby and the Kentucky Oaks coming up on the first weekend of May. And look, we're already through the middle of March, so things are going to start getting serious that way. And I understand that Santa Anita may be asking for additional racing dates, and we'll get into that a little bit as well. But also here in Las Vegas, as you know, no matter what the weather is outside, it's always fast, firm, and perfect in the race book. And thank goodness those are the conditions that will be for this weekend's National Handicapping Championship that's happening here in Las Vegas.
Right. Today is the last chance tournament in the room where they play the NHC in downtown on the Strip. Tomorrow, the actual National Horse Players Championship starts on Friday. So I think there's over 625 people in the tournament already. Uh-huh. Some of those have two entries, which is the maximum allowed. And we'll have our first Eclipse Award champion by the end of Sunday. So that'll be interesting.
John, this is the NTRA, the National Thoroughbred Racing Association's National Handicapping Championship. It's really not based on a particular racetrack that has it all the time or whatever. They chose Las Vegas, Nevada a long time ago to have the central for the big finals. But it is a national one. But you can qualify at racetracks around the country and qualify on the internet in online tournaments as well to get to a spot where you get into the national handicapping championship. You can't buy your way in. You got to qualify in, right?
That's the thing. You cannot buy your way in. You have to qualify. There are tournaments online every day, basically, that will get you feeders into the weekend qualifiers for the NHC. Mm-hmm. All the racetracks that are involved have individual qualifying events around the country. They're all different kinds of formats. When you get here to the National Horse Player Championship, it's a mythical $2 win place bets. They have a number of mandatory races, I think 8 per day, mm-hmm. and then you have another 12 races that you can choose amongst all the tournament tracks. So it's a lot of fun. I played in it a few times. Some good horse players out here, and you got to get lucky. Yeah, you know, like anything else, with that many players, you got to find prices, and you got to get lucky.
Yeah, no question about that. When it all comes out, even as far as the horse players and their ability to handicap races across the country, it's always the last element is that the luck. Are you going to get the luck on those 3 days? That's for sure. And I mean all 3 days, because I know a lot of guys that had the lead the first day didn't wind up in the top 10 by the end of the tournament. And the format is just almost like the Kentucky Derby, where you have to qualify, and then make the race, get in the starting gate, which is what these guys are doing, and now they got to win it.
Right. After the first day, they'll cut down to the top 10%. So out of the, let's say, 700 tickets or whatever, there'll be 70 left for Saturday morning, and they'll do that. They'll do the first day. The second day, they cut it down. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, Saturday. Sunday morning, the top 70 will play, and you're trying to get into the top 10 final table. And the afternoon, Sunday afternoon, there'll be 10 players left. They play the same, I think, 6 or 7 races together, and they go head-to-head there. And then whoever has the highest bankroll at the end of that will be declared the champ.
Well, that's going to be an exciting tournament. But for us who have not qualified, our tournament is going to be playing the races every day from our seat here in the book. But where is the National Handicapping Championship being held?
It originally started at Bally's with Johnny Avello.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
You're right.
Yeah.
And it moved in a couple places. It was recently at the Treasure Island, but it is back at the old Bally's facility, which is now called the Horseshoe.
Yeah, right.
So they've had it here there the last few years. It's the old Hi-Li room at the very back, if you go back that far.
Oh, I do.
And it's a great venue to have it. Plenty of room for the horse players. There's almost like a basketball stadium square board in the middle of the room, right, that flashes all the updates on everything, and you run into everybody you've ever known if you're a horse player, and there's a lot of lies in that room.
So if you owe some players some money, don't show up there.
Yeah, you might wear glasses and a mustache, yeah.
Anyhow, that's happening this weekend here in Las Vegas, and of course, here at the South Point, we'll be playing the races day by day, and of course, with those two big races at Colonial Downs, you got a couple of stakes races at Gulfstream. Turf Paradise is going to have 5 stakes races on Saturday. And, of course, their marquee race, and it has a deep history, by the way. The Phoenix Gold Cup will be run on Saturday as well.
We ran a horse in that race. They ran a horse named Sensational Star. Yeah. Got beat ahead in there.
Yeah.
But the story for us on that, Ralph, we went out for the weekend. We go the night before to the dog track in Phoenix. A great place to have dinner, by the way. And my trainer, Bill Spar, saw a dog that he thought couldn't lose.
Yeah.
So he goes and bets $500 on this dog.
Oh, my goodness.
And I said, Bill, look at the pool. The win pool was $512. Dog gets banged around in the first turn, wins anyways. Ask him to this day about WD-40. A smile will come to his face ear to ear.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what. You bet $500 on a dog at the dog track there, and it becomes from 10 to 1 to 1 to 5.
One to nine. Yes.
You know, and I'm sure the racetrack was kind of rooting for the horse to lose. It had to have a minus pool. I mean, the dog, I should say. But in any case, that marquee race will happen at Turf Paradise on Saturday as well. So we got some great stuff to go over on today's show. And, of course, the Kentucky Derby, the leaderboard, et cetera. Remember, after this weekend, all of the races for the Kentucky Derby future book, except that last one, the Lexington, with 20 points. They'll all have 100 points now. So the next 8 races that are left in the Kentucky Derby future book, as far as the Kentucky Derby getting points in the leaderboard, all happens. There'll be 8 100-point getters and 1 20-point getter left for the Kentucky Derby, 6 100-point getters for the Kentucky Oaks, and 1 50-point getter. And then that's it. Whatever the top 20 are, the first 20 that will be invited in to run for the Roses and run, of course, on Friday for the Kentucky Oaks as well. So we'll take a look at that. But, you know, I want to also get you and Jonathan together to talk a little bit about what's going on in Southern California racing. I see where they're starting to interject a few more races per day that are races that are designed for conditions for the horses that have come from Northern California down
there. Right. A lot of those races are restricted to horses based in Northern California as of January 1. You're going to see a lot of them on Sunday and Monday.
And all I could say is those races, when you think about the lower-classed horses and those races, you would think that maybe there would be more upsets, but it seems to me that there's more favorites winning those races.
They've been extremely formful.
Yeah.
And the thing about it, the field sizes have been good, but the number of horses that are actual contenders, it's pretty light.
Yeah.
You know, usually you can two or three deep, and you've got the race covered.
Yeah.
And because of the limited amount of Northern California horses, Ralph, they can't put too many different levels. So you have to kind of come back and race in the same level, so it's the same race you've seen a month ago.
Uh-huh.
So it's difficult, and it's not the fault of the racing secretary, Jason Egan. He's got a tough go here trying to keep those guys in business,
mm-hmm.
and it's tough to be innovative when you're limited.
Well, I know two jockeys from Northern California that are keeping in business very well in California, Southern California, is William Anton Georgie and Asa Espinosa.
Both doing very well. I got a chance to meet Billy Anton Georgie at Clocker's Corner. Really nice guy. And
yeah,
he's got some ties. He rode for Steve Miotti a lot up there, who has horses in Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you'll see those guys that have the ties with Andy Mathis and Tim McKenna, Blaine Wright. Those are the guys that are winning the bulk of the Northern California restricted races at Santa Anita.
And, of course, you know, we always got some great racing going on at Oaklawn Park, and full fields continue at Turfway Park. So we got some places to see if we can make some money, that's for sure. And we'll be getting started with that. Wanted to remind everybody that it was really important, I think, for the report to come out about the equine fatalities. Now, well, I understand 2024, the racing fatalities per 1,000 horses running in the country was the lowest since they started tracking this stuff.
Yeah, the protocols I'm not a fan of. It's very invasive, and it's a real pain as an owner to try and get a horse in a race.
Mm-hmm.
The numbers tell that a lot of these protocols work. We're down, what, another 15%, I think, from last year, or something significant. And so as much as a pain as it is, they're doing the best thing they can for the horses. And, you know, there is some, you know, collateral damage as far as maybe some horses that could run but don't.
Right.
So we'll see what happens. But at least the numbers are bearing out that the efforts are making some progress.
Yes. The rate of fatality decreased by 15.9, almost 16% from 2023 to 24. And as I say, just a little bit over one fatality per 1,000 starters, and so that's good. And certainly, it's like I said, it's the lowest rate since the equine injury database began in 2009. So that's all good news for us, that's for sure. And we'll try to bob and weave around all that. The only thing that they're doing with HISA that I think they could adjust a little is the whipping from the jockeys, because as you and I know, Jonathan has talked about this as well, the new whips, the whips that they're using now are just about as potent as a rolled up newspaper. You know, it really all it does, it's
like a Nerf kind of foam, yeah, on the end of the stick,
yeah,
there. That's all it is.
All it is that they're get the attention of a horse, like
the sound. Yeah. The sound is more effective, yeah, than the actual,
yeah,
strike. Yeah, exactly.
But outside of that, I think they're doing a pretty good job. All right. Well, let's get started. We got Jonathan Hardoon with us today, John Lindell right here, and of course Jerry J will be stopping by. Of course, Rich Yang is still off for the moment, and we will get started with the race day show with our racing menu coming after this. And then we'll get Jonathan Hardoon, who I know is anxious to get into this conversation as well with us for you. And, you know, if you get to YouTube, you get to the race day page, You can chat away with the chatters, and the chat box has been just growing and growing and growing with a lot of great guys doing a lot of great stuff there. And if you haven't already joined, just hit subscribe. Subscription is free. You hit subscribe, and then you can join the chat box as well. So we'll be right back. Don't go away.
South Point Casino has plenty of attractions for the whole family. Catch a movie. Our 16-screen movie theater includes two XD Extreme screens for the ultimate in viewing, sound, and luxury. After the show, treat the family to a variety of treats at our old-fashioned ice cream parlor, Kate's Corner. We scoop up a variety of creamy concoctions, including smoothies, hand-dipped cones, milkshakes, malts, sodas, and sundaes. At Kate's, there's something for everyone. And if you've still got time to spare, our bowling center might be right up your alley. Voted best of Las Vegas, it's a great place for friends and family fun. 64 lanes, a pro shop, snack bar, and arcade. And while the kids are bowling, you can play slots and sip on a drink in the Alley Cat Lounge while overlooking the lanes. For our more serious and professional bowlers, the South Point is also home to a separate tournament bowling plaza.
Back on Race Day Las Vegas, and time to get to your racing menu for today. Just looking at the temperatures around the country, they'll top out at 79 in Miami. Oh, boy. New York City will be at 50 with the clouds, a little bit of clouds going on in there, but there's no racing at Aqueduct today. Chicago will be 56. Phoenix, Arizona is going to get up to 69. Southern California, 56 with rain in the forecast. And here in Las Vegas, 58 with rain in our forecast here. And as I say, as I see it now, there are no cancellations for today because the bad weather is yet to come as it moves across the country. Here's the menu for today. First, post times are Pacific. You know the deal. If you're not in the Pacific time zone, as we are here, and the folks here, the race book behind us will be playing off of these post times, adjust the first post times to whatever time zone you're in across the world. Tweak it so you don't miss anything like I miss mom and dad. Okay, here we go. Here's the menu for today. We begin with Mahoning Valley Racecourse. Mahoning Valley Racecourse has a pick six jackpot carryover at $33,349. They have nine races. Their first post time is at 9:15. Colonial Downs, getting ready for the big day of racing coming up on Saturday. This is the very short meet, just a week, because they're highlighting Derby and Oaks preview races and point-getting races. Today, Colonial Downs has a first post time of 9:35 for an eight-race card there. There will be no turf racing at Colonial Downs, and I got an explanation why they're not having turf racing at Colonial Downs in the next couple of days here. They prepare the turf course there every year. They say they burn off a piece of the turf course. They burn it all off and reseed it. So they're in the process of doing that for Colonial Downs.
I've seen the burning of the turf. They put it on video before. I looked at it, what the heck are they doing? But they do that every winter.
Yeah. So the turf is being burnt off, and that's why it looks so lush and plush every year when the regular Colonial Downs meet starts. So they have eight races today, all on the main track. First post time is at 9:35. Then we go to Gulfstream Park. Gulfstream Park has nine races today, and their first post time is set at 9:50. Their pick six rainbow jackpot carryover is getting big now. It stands at $198,123 today. First post time is 9:50 at Gulfstream. Fairgrounds has 10 races. Their first post time at the Fairgrounds with a pick six carryover. This is a regular pick six carryover, too. $2,913. Just a regular pick six carryover. 10 races. First post time is at 10:45. Sunland Park will kick in with 10 races. Sunland Park has a first post time at 11:25 for 10 races. A couple of small carryovers there. Super High 5, $495. The Pick 5, $526. Sunland Park's first post time, 11:25. Turf Paradise in Phoenix, Arizona, where they'll hold those five stakes races on Saturday. First two races today at Turf Paradise will be quarter horse races, and then the last six will be thoroughbreds. They have eight races today at Turf Paradise, with a first post time at Turf Paradise and a pick six jackpot carryover of $35,878. First post time is set at 1:25 today at Turf Paradise. Penn National has 9 races. Penn National will kick in with the first post time at 2:45 at Penn National today. Turfway Park still has those full fields at Turfway. 10 races at Turfway Park today. Pick 6 jackpot carryover, $124,724. 10 races at Turfway and a first post time there set at 2:55. And then we have Charlestown wrapping it up. Charlestown has 9 races. Their first post time is 4 p.m. Their pick 6 jackpot carryover, $42,067. 4 p.m. first post at Charlestown. And that is your racing menu for this Almost Friday Thursday. Let's go to Jonathan Hardoon. Weave him into the conversation here. Jonathan, look at him, John. He's got a coat on inside his house. Jonathan, good morning.
You have a coat on, too, and so does John, and you're indoors, so.
No, it's
cold here, Ralph.
It's a sweater, but nevertheless, you're right. Well, the studio is always cold here. It's the only great thing about the studio. You come in here when it's 110 degrees in the summertime. It's beautiful in here. But in the wintertime, it can get pretty frosty here. But you just look funny inside with a coat on.
I actually just put it on, Ralph. I got a little chilly watching you guys. So.
Thanks a lot.
Well, I guess, is that your editorial on the conversation?
No, it was just, I don't know. I just got cold watching you. What could I tell you? I'm getting older, Ralph.
All right. Anything that we talked about that you'd like to chip in on?
No, I just think that the casualty rate is down, and that's good. Believe me, I'm not a fan of HISA, but apparently whatever's going on is working. I don't know if HISA has that much to do with it or whether it's the state regulations, but whatever it is, it's working. And HISA has to do something to justify the payroll of $77 million. And if it's saving horses' lives, that's good for racing.
Well, you know, I got to say that it is a HISA oversight, that particular
yes.
agency, that's for sure. So that's working well. Like I said, I haven't got that much of a problem with anything they're doing except for the whipping violations. But I know, John, when you're looking at it from your side of they're outside of the players that we are, and you're looking at all the regulations and hoops that you got to, you know, jump through as an owner to get a horse to a race, besides not only worrying about if the racetrack's going to be open or not to keep a horse on a training schedule, but also the drug situation and all that, right?
Well, I'll give you an example. Last week there was a day where we had the track closed, and we got back the next day for racing. We were able to race. The track was fine for racing, but the morning after that, because they opened the track the day before, they couldn't train. So it's okay to race, like, Saturday afternoon, let's say, and Sunday morning we couldn't train on the racetrack, and there's no rain or anything in between. Things like that drive you crazy as a horseman trying to keep your horse on schedule, and the collateral damage done to a lot of these trainers and by all these positives that have been contamination positive. They haven't gotten the guys who are quote unquote cheaters. Mm-hmm. They've gotten a lot of these things, and if you use logical thinking, you can explain. And so the reputations that are damaged bothers me quite a bit.
Was it HISA that closes the track for training, or is it Santa Anita?
That's a California Horse Racing Board rule.
Right. So that rule isn't everywhere. That's
right.
A California
rule. We're really lucky in California. Yeah, we got rules on rules.
Lucky.
And you know, the thing about it is, people should understand that horses are running in races, and they need a training schedule to stay fit. Because if they don't stay fit they're pressed into entering these horses and races. Sometimes they enter horses and races that really are not the condition they want, but they need to get a race in a horse, et cetera. That, you know, if you're not a fit horse, that can lead to injuries as well. So it's a balance they have to have.
Absolutely. And, again, as long as we try and do it logically, and that's, I think we've gotten away from that a little bit. And if you could put some logic
common
in this.
Sense.
Yeah.
You need to use some common sense. So that's what they're missing. That's what they were missing early. You know, they were accusing all these trainers of having all these violations, and then 2 weeks later saying, oops, we're sorry. Well, I'm glad they're sorry after they ruined a guy's life and his career. But, you know, at least they slowed down on doing that. So, they're getting better at it.
It's a learning curve, that's for sure. And you also have to remember that the violations that John were talking about, the contamination, That's just contamination from being out in the outside, etc. It's natural contamination. And they have to separate that from intentional cheating.
Well, that's
exactly.
And it's, yeah, the testing is so sensitive. You know, a groom can be on a medication for whatever he has going on, and if he touches the wrong stuff and the horse eats it, you know, it's things like that. I mean, way back when, Bobby Franco had a horse test positive because the horse ate part of a poppy seed bagel.
Right, I remember that.
Right, so, I mean, that's how sensitive the testing is. So, yeah, you don't want to call somebody guilty and then have to prove themselves innocent. Let's make them innocent until you prove them guilty.
Yeah, no question about that. Well, as far as the racing is concerned, it's a little bit light today, guys, with only Gulfstream Park out there, Jonathan. But yesterday at Gulfstream Park, Javier Castellano had a couple of winners, winning the second race for Anthony Dutrow at 420 and the ninth race for Jorge Delgado at $10 even. Jose DeAngelo had a couple of wins back-to-back. He won the seventh race with Luis Saez at 440. Thank you very much, Mr. Hardoon. That was a horse that you picked. Got bet down from 7 to 2, paid 440. I'm gonna leave that alone because we know we went over that yesterday. But in any case, DeAngelo came back in the very next race, the eighth race, with Miguel Vasquez and paid $12.80. And here's the prices of the early pick five yesterday at Gulfstream: $11.80, $4.20, $9.40, $7, $37. Okay? The pick five paid $4,391.60. The $37 horse got it. But if you were to extract just the $11.80 winner in the first race and those next four races in the pick four, you only got $462.40. That $11.80 winner in the first race made the difference of $3,929.20. And, of course, we know that the takeout in the pick fives are smaller too.
Right, yeah. The 15% takeout makes a huge difference when you get to the final numbers on a daily basis.
Yeah, no question about that. And that's why we continue to try to get those pick fives, Jonathan.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's no question about it. And, again, we're dealing with the CAW and everything else, but we're going to avoid that today on your say-so, Ralph.
Yeah, I mean, I think we went over it pretty well.
Yeah. We were all over Twitter yesterday.
They took that excerpt and replayed it. But we'll stand by it. In any case, your other pick, that was the heartbreaker. Your other pick, Chrome Impulse, went off at 7-1. Did all the hard work, battled early, battled late in the stretch, but just got nailed by a horse that came from on the outside and got up. And your horse, who finished second, Chrome Impulse, paid $6.60 the place yesterday. And, of course, Dwayne Carlucci, who gave us a horse at Turfway, that horse was scratched, so no harm, no foul there. But that was really that was hard to take, that second horse at Tampa.
Everyone seemed to take a shot at him, and he held everybody off till the last one. So he ran well.
Yes,
he got a run for your money at 7-1.
He certainly did. John, they're talking about more racing days at Santa Anita.
We'll have to see how that goes. I just from experience, Ralph, we know in April after the Santa Anita Derby, once those horses start to hit the Triple Crown Trail, guys like Bob Baffert and Pete Erton and Doug O'Neill, they have stables other places in the country, and they're going to send some of these other horses out to race on those undercards on all those big races, whether it be at Pimlico or Churchill Downs or in New York. So we know the horse population is going to decline a little bit in the middle of April. To schedule more races right now blindly, that to me is a tough call. I mean, obviously the weather will be good in April and May. We won't have to worry about coming off the turf. Mm-hmm. But I'm just wondering if you know, is this well thought out? And it could be. They might have the population for it. Great. I hope it works. But I'm just saying this is something you have to consider.
I would think they would be dependent more on those horses from Northern California filling more of those races then.
That's what it looks like to me. And so the quality of what we're going to see on a daily basis, Santa Anita, is not going to be as strong as what we're accustomed to.
Well, you said they drew for all 4 days already through St. Patrick's Day Monday. Jonathan, there have been some pretty weak cards out there, though, in Southern California.
There are. I mean, last Sunday they had four races for those Northern California horses. So imagine if they didn't have them in Santa Anita. They would have filled seven races on a Sunday. I don't think more days is the right answer at this point. And believe me, you don't want to lose days. You want as many days as you can.
Certainly.
But you also have to give out some sort of product that you know, well, that represents Southern California racing.
Well, and you got to have a product out there that players want to play. It's really that simple.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Nobody wants to bet 2-5 shots. You know, they were calling Santa Anita Chalk Anita. We want to stop calling it Chalk Anita. We want to go back to Santa Anita.
Right. I want favorites in the race that win to pay $7 at 5-2 rather than 280 or 360.
Well, we'll go over the numbers tomorrow, but the Santa Anita percentage of favorites actually nosedive for you a little bit for this week.
You better believe it, man. Let's get back to normal. That's what I say. All right, Jonathan, we got the only Gulfstream Park to work with today as far as picks. You got anything for us?
We do. We're going to look at the sixth race today, Ralph, and this is a terrific race. This looks like a graded stake race. You got Power Squeeze, who's run and the Alabama, actually won the Alabama. You have Gunsong, who's running the Mother Goose. And you have Just FYI, who's been in the Kentucky Oaks. What kind of race is this for a Thursday afternoon in the middle of, you know, the card? So it's a terrific betting race. And I really like the number one horse in here, Power out. Squeeze. Yeah. For your what? Scratch?
Out.
Yeah, he's officially just came out, John, and I understand she's going to go maybe straight to the Azari, but she is just pulled up the scratches. She is out today, and
you had such a nice scenario going there. Just a nice recap.
I had my whole spiel all lined up.
Was ready to go. I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to give you an opportunity to look and see if you want to give us an Avis call on this, and I'll go to John Lendo and get his pick.
I'm ready.
Oh, you're ready.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Let's go to the eighth race, a mile and eighth on Tapita. And I like the number five horse in here, Attack. Mark Cassie sends out this three-year-old gelding, Dylan Davis aboard to ride for the first time. He's listed at 4-1 on the morning line. His synthetics at Woodbine, all good enough to get the job done here. Cassie's having a terrific meet. Number five, Attack, 4-1 on the morning line, wins today's eighth race.
All right, Jonathan, you do understand that you've just made Sean crazy because he couldn't type that fast on the graphic. But I'll repeat it. I tried to give him time by giving you time, but that didn't work. So here's the deal. Eighth race, this is the new pick, eighth race today at Gulfstream, number five, Attack. The five, 4-1 on the morning line with Dylan Davis, the five in the eighth race at Gulfstream today. Anything at all that's coming up this weekend that is going to pique your attention there, Mr. Hardoon?
Well, not really. I mean, obviously the Colonial Downs races will be interesting. The fact that John Hancock scratched out of there makes that race a little more interesting, I think. And, we'll see how it goes.
All right. Now, Mr. Lindo has something he's going to tell you right now, and all of us, that'll pique your attention to start looking at a certain pool.
Well, I heard nothing at all from the racetrack, but I printed out the past performances for Sunday at Gulfstream Park, and on the fifth race, the start of their Rainbow Six, is a big banner that says, mandatory payout, Rainbow Six begins race five. So
again?
Yeah.
This just had it last week. What the heck? Every week they give a mandatory payout.
Yeah.
The estimated pool, $3 million. That's what's on the banner. I've seen nothing. You would think this is something maybe the track would want to make some noise about.
And I get emails from Gulfstream all the time when they have mandatories. And
right.
so far, as I checked the email this morning, I didn't see any.
Right.
But the Racing Form has that banner. I see it on the Racing Form sheet.
Right.
Now, right now, today, going into today's Pick 6 jackpot, the Rainbow Jackpot at Gulfstream stands at $198,123. So maybe what, we get to 350?
Maybe, yeah. They've been giving it out about $300,000 or $400,000 in the pool. So there's a chance they could
get
that.
They're going to kill it. They're going to kill it. When you do that, they're just going to kill it. They're going to ruin this bet. Well, not that, you know. So a lot of players don't like to play it anyway, but they're going to kill it. You can't have a mandatory every Monday, every Sunday. That's just crazy.
Well, you know, maybe that's the schedule they're going to try to go on, having a mandatory. You play throughout the week and the mandatory on Sunday, but they are estimating that the mandatory on Sunday, this Sunday, with only less than $200,000 carryover, the pool, they say, they're going to estimate around $3 million. You think they're going to get it?
No way. No, I don't think so. I mean, I don't know the field sizes yet, but I don't see it. And as they continue doing this, people are going to stop playing it and wait for the one day a week when it's a mandatory payout.
Yeah,
that's what I think is going to happen.
You have to be careful. You don't water this down.
Exactly. That's the problem. They satirize everything. They have something that's halfway decent. Right. And what do? They go and they kill
it. Overkill it. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're not going to overkill you. You can now leave. And all we got to do is tell everybody out there that you can take your jacket off, too. Wait till you get off the air, though, okay? This is an R-rated show for gambling R only. But in any case, you have one cheat today, and that's Gulfstream, right?
Correct. JONHARDOON.com. Thank you, Ralph. Nice seeing you, John. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Talk to you later, John.
It's always fun to talk.
He's the best.
Yeah. Not to mention the fact that when I have somebody else in the studio like you guys and we can get together, it's always a lot of fun as well. And I hope it is a lot of fun for the watchers and listeners out there. We'll be back. And I'm going to get John Lindo's pick for Gulfstream as well. And we'll see if Jerry Jackowitz jumps on with a thought or two about his look at how you're supposed to play this crazy game. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Here we are in Houston, opening up our first veteran village. This beautiful building that's going to house 161 homeless veterans. Any veteran that risks their lives and they're struggling with PTSD, mental illness, addiction. We're also building what I call comfort homes, 500 square foot homes. These are for older homeless veterans, so they have their own space and give them back some of their dignity, some of their independence, and most certainly give them back their life. Go to T2T.org to learn how you can change a veteran's life forever.
South Point offers all the types of entertainment you'd expect at a first-class Las Vegas resort. Did you know our 400-seat showroom is one of Las Vegas's top destinations for live entertainment? Enjoy live performances by classic Vegas entertainers, bands, and today's hottest comedians, plus a rock and dance floor. You can also enjoy live entertainment at the Grandview Lounge, where you'll feel all the vibes of old Las Vegas. Enjoy the music, and if you love to laugh, don't miss The Dirty at 12:30, our very own free comedy show. Every Friday night at 12:30 a.m. in the Grandview Lounge, The Dirty is 100% free, so arrive early. Go to southpointcasino.com or call the box office at 77136 for today's performances at the showroom and the Grandview Lounge. When you're ready for your favorite cocktail, stop in and unwind at one of our seven specialty lounges. There's a bar around every corner, because you're in Vegas, baby.
All right, back on Race Day Las Vegas, one of our chatters say that Colonial, and I did check it, the field sizes at Colonial are a little bit light today. But you got to remember that when horsemen are pointing towards Colonial Downs, they're thinking the turf, because 90% of the races at Colonial during the regular meet is on turf. And then with only a brief weekend of racing there anyhow, there might be a lot of trainers that don't have a horse going in the stakes races that says, you know, I'll just stay in my barn here.
Yeah, I think Laurel is not racing this week to let some of those horses from Maryland go down there to Colonial for that. But like I said, we never raced on the dirt in Virginia in March. So this is a whole new ball game.
Yeah. And I guess Brad will be at Colonial Downs this weekend.
He's riding John Hancock there. He's riding Rapture. John Hancock Rapture. Is going to scratch. Right.
Yeah, John Hancock is at Rapture. By the way, what your thoughts about Rapture? He's kind of one of those horses that got a little gut check going on there.
He's a nice horse. I tell you, there was one thing about that race. Bob Effron entered Getaway Car in there. That was not the horse he was going to enter. Mm-hmm. He was going to enter Gaming in the Colonial Downs race, but he spiked a temperature last Saturday after working. So he called an audible, and Getaway Car was kind of like the Avis horse to put in there. So, you know, take from that what you will, but it's not the horse that was intended to go there. And that's a long stretch of Colonial, and I'm not sure how far Getaway Car wants to run.
Well, two things about Getaway Car. One, that Baffert can go to the bench and find a horse that probably will be a favorite in the race.
Exactly.
He's got to go to his fourth or fifth, player down the bench. But the thing that worries me about Getaway Car is you and I both saw, everybody saw, that amazing a race at Sunland Park where he gutted it out. I mean, this guy just did not want to lose. He gutted it out. And I don't know if he's had enough time to really recover from that. This could be one of those bounce-type races.
It could be, and you're shipping across the country, yeah. And you mix all that stuff in. And, again, carrying your speed at Sutherland Park is a little bit different than carrying your speed there at Colonial Downs.
Not to mention the fact that we know that Bob Baffert's not going to do anything to harm the horse.
No.
So the horse must have been telling him he's ready to get out there and do it again. But it's going to be an interesting race, that Virginia Derby. And because it's owned by Churchill Downs Incorporated, you're going to get the Kentucky Derby points off of the Virginia Derby. As far as the Oaks is concerned, the three-year-old fillies, this really is a wide-open year for three-year-old fillies, isn't it?
Yeah, to me, with the exception of the Godolphin horses, you have Good Cheer for Brad Cox.
Yeah.
And, you know, Muhima may have been exposed as to how far she wants to run last time.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it's a developing group. You know, I think it's a little soft, and I think they're behind the Colts this year.
Yeah, I do, too. And there's no Torpedo Anna amongst these. That's
not yet.
What did you think about her opening race back?
Boy, that was... Well, she did what she had to do. Yeah. It wasn't a great field. They gave her the lead, and that was that. But it set her up for the Azari, and it shows that she came back in good shape. And, you know, once you get a filly like that, and when they start winning, they just rattle them off, and she's going to be tough to beat going forward.
And we all know one thing about fillies in horse racing. When fillies start to get sour, they get sour quick, and she is not. She came back running.
That's what you look for.
Yeah.
Does she still want to do it?
Yeah.
And the answer was yes.
Yeah. And by the way, that long shot that stalked her most of the way and then pressed her a little bit at the top of the stretch before Hernandez asked the question, that was a solid effort by her.
They did the best they could. You know, you're facing a horse of the year. You know, and you try him off the layoff, maybe hopefully that she's not 100% fit. And she ran her race. She just wasn't good enough.
Getting back to the Derby horses, I was very impressed with the last running of Journalism. I thought that he looked good, nice, big, strong horse, did what he had to do, knocked out Baffert 3-for-1 there. They won that race, so that Trent McCarthy's got to be real happy with him. And not only that, but I understand that his... he's back in training, but you know, getting back to the racetrack, but they're going to have to kind of maneuver his workout over the weekend because of the weather.
Right, and that's for all the horses. The good part is they got the race into him that they needed last time out, and he was coming off of being sick in November, December, yeah. So they got that race into him. They can kind of ad-lib a little bit of the schedule, and with the main track being closed Tuesday, Wednesday, and I'm assuming today, you probably need to gallop over once or twice before you work. So maybe you put the work back a day or two, but I don't think it's going to cost him.
No, I don't either. And as far as the horses on the East Coast, I can't think of anyone that I could really say this is going to be a challenger to anybody from the West Coast yet. And who knows what's going to go on with Eastern Avenue.
Well, that he's going to run next week in the Louisiana Derby. They're going to give him another chance. But, boy, he looked so good physically, and he was just breezing in that last race, the Risen Star. And when they turned for home, he was absolutely empty, and I have no idea why.
I don't either, because it looked, when we watched it, it looked like the horse had bled.
Yeah.
That's the kind of a performance that a horse will make in a race where they bleed. But he didn't.
Well, and even if he did, you can't use Lasix in the Triple Crown prep races. So yeah, that's not going to solve that.
So we'll see what happens there. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, the Kentucky Derby future book, the Paramutual Pool 5, the Paramutual Pool from Churchill Downs will be available. It starts at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning and will go until 6 o'clock on Sunday night. These are Pacific times now. 9 a.m. Pacific time tomorrow. 6 o'clock it'll close. 6 p.m. on Sunday. And I understand that of the individual horses, Journalism was the favorite now.
I think so.
Morning line.
Yeah, but anybody who plays it until the last hour before it closes,
who knows?
You're taking the worst of it. Just wait till as long as possible.
Yeah, who knows? Now, we know that they're not racing on the turf course because of, preparing the turf course for the regular meet at the Colonial Downs. Southern California, however, they did have an issue on the turf course last weekend.
Yeah, Sunday, our last day of racing. The second race, Trusty Rusty on the far turn was starting to rally, and I thought he broke down. He took a really awkward step, and the jock stopped riding him, and he actually finished up fourth. And then in race five, Blue Oasis did the same thing on the first turn. Now, we know we had some rain last week, mm-hmm. And if you know Santa Anita at all, that area over the tunnel on the far turn where they come onto the training track,
right.
It doesn't dry out as fast as the other parts of the turf course. And I had a horse named Unapologetic who was going to the lead five or six wide on that same spot at the quarter pole, slipped and went down. And, you know, he was fine. Mike Smith was fine. Mm-hmm. But it's happened there before. And after that fifth race, the jockeys said, hey, you got to move the rails in. It's slippery out in the far outside. Mm-hmm. So there was like a 25-minute delay before race seven. They moved the rails out from 20 feet to zero. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons I kind of think they'll probably be off the turf tomorrow with the rain we're having this week. I and the cold weather, I don't think it's going to dry out in time to run tomorrow. So we'll at least on the turf course.
Well, you know, it's logical because the tunnel underneath is a cement tunnel.
Right.
And so
there's no place for the water to go.
Yeah, the water gets down in that, and it's just pooling like a puddle would do on cement.
Right.
But the other parts of the turf course obviously are deep enough to absorb the moisture. So we'll wait and see about that. Hey, let's get to Jerry Jackowitz standing out there. Jerry, good morning.
Hey, how you doing, Ralph? Hey, John, great to see you this morning.
Hi, Jerry.
You know, Ralph, I think I could use you. I'm doing some work in my backyard. I'm trying to make sure that the water doesn't puddle on the side of the house.
Yeah, I got a puddle for you, but it has nothing to do with your garden. All I could tell you is you ain't getting me out there to do that, that's for sure. But I got a good gardener in case you need one.
Nah, I'm okay. I got my guy.
All right. Anyhow, any of the subject matters that we talked about or you've been listening to that you want to add anything to? Or
I'm like always disappointed when I hear stories like the one that John just told, about horses, hitting bad spots on the turf course. Mm-hmm. This is really the province of Santa Anita, of the maintenance crew, of them to know their track, know what the tendencies are, and to make sure that it's safe racing everywhere. I mean, it's just not right that should occur. And, you see a horse running at 30 some odd miles per hour and four frail legs and hundreds of thousands of dollars riding on their back and all this going on, and they're hitting a wet spot, a soft spot. It makes no sense.
But, when the jockeys came back and told them about it, they corrected it right away, or as much as they could. Jeremy, let me ask you this. Now, we're getting, into the big races for points for the Kentucky Derby. And so the field is somewhat starting to mesh. It'll be meshing very much so during these 100 pointers during the month of this month and next month. When do you start trying to compile information, stats, speed figures, whatever you do, on Derby horses for the Kentucky Derby?
Well, like everything else in horse racing, for me, mm-hmm. it's always a... it's always a daily process of accumulating for everything. I don't point for the Kentucky Derby, and I really don't do anything special for the Kentucky Derby except the time it takes to do it. Mm-hmm. Like I would do any race. Every race requires, a full understanding of all the races the horses ran. And so I'm sure John has the same thing. I'm sure you do it. You do your daily work, and you're constantly updating everything and trying to be aware of everything. The one thing I have to do is, where I may not be following the races at fairgrounds, when the Risen Stars run in there or the Louisiana Derby, I've got to pay attention to that.
Yeah.
So there's a little extra work I do as I go on that sort of stuff. Okay. This is an everyday business. That's all there is to it.
Well,
the work I have for you on the first Saturday in May was done January 1st, January 2nd, January 3rd.
Well, as you say, it is an everyday business. And right now, today, I need a winner, and I'm going to go to John Lendo to give me a horse at Gulfstream.
Sure.
Fourth race.
Me too. I'll get my pen out.
Fourth race today at Gulfstream Park. Dylan Davis, the jockey, jumps off the morning line favorite, number 7, Love Actually, to ride the first timer, number 6, Super Willow War. Just mediocre works on the main track. The one work on Tapita was good. This debuts on the Tapita here. There's got to be a reason he jumps off the favorite to ride this horse. 9-2 in the program, number 6, Super Willowa, race number 4 at Gulfstream Park.
All right, fourth race, 5-furlong race for 3-year-old fillies, maidens. And for all those reasons, John Lendo Lake's number 6, Super Willowa. The 6, Super Willowa, in the fourth race today is John Lendo's pick at Gulfstream Park. And I guess you and Jonathan think that Dylan Davis is going to have a good day of riding.
Fingers crossed.
All right, you got it. All right, Jerry, we will let you go back to work and do what you do, because tomorrow we'll get both Santa Anita and Aqueduct back on the docket. And in the meantime, I want to thank John for being here in studio. We'll keep you here Friday, maybe even Saturday before we let you go.
You got it, Ralph.
And in the meantime, there's one more thing to say for this Almost Friday Thursday wrap-up. Jerry's going to say it.
Great race day, everybody.
It's Ralph Serrato at Race Day Las Vegas, morning on 1400 KSHP North Las Vegas.
Online
at KSHP.gov.